G L E. Oh, wait. Hold on. That's not how I spelled it. Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Jacob. Welcome back to another episode of Clocks Running, the Flag Football Podcast. Everything Flag Football Officials. You see how many times I messed that up? About four. This is why I don't do the intro. But I'm Jacob. This is Ant. What's going on, man?
What's up, man? You just threw a lot of information at me. Did you spell Eagles wrong?
Yeah, man. I spelled it like the mayor of Philadelphia did when she was doing the chant right before the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, we are going to get into our weekend in Philly for sure. Don't you worry. All right. What? You want to talk about it right now?
No, we got a guest waiting.
Absolutely. Okay, that's what I'm saying. So you see, y'all mad already.
I'm Jacob. We went over this.
I don't know. You got the Duke, like, you know, hoodie on. It's that just screams anger. You know, you guys lost when you should have won.
All right. So we got a pretty cool guest coming on. Came across the northern border. Please bring Flag Plus Football's very own Jeff out.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, how are you?
Oh, good, man. I'm a little bit sick, so you bear with my voice. You know, we're up north here. It's freezing in Canada. Everyone's always sick. You know what I mean?
No worries.
Yeah, I was just about to ask, what part of Canada are you based out of?
Yeah, so we're in Quebec is the province. Montreal is the city, one of the biggest cities in Quebec. You know, great town. It's mainly French speakers. I happen to be like an English guy from Montreal, but you know, a lot of English people, a lot of French people. So it's a cool culture, awesome town. If you haven't been here, you should definitely try and get up here and check it out.
Yeah, for sure. And just anytime we have a new guest on, we want to give you the chance to just kind of share your origin story as far as flag football goes and what brought you to the place you are today. So the floor is yours, Jeff.
For sure, man. So, you know, I'm 46 years old, just to preface it. And growing up, I never really played tackle football. I was playing other sports. And then about 15 years ago, so when I was about 30, I discovered this league that we had in Montreal called Flag Plus Football. You know, I'd heard a bunch of my buddies talking about it. And basically got a few of my buddies together who hadn't really played football. And we're like, hey, let's try this. You know, it looks cool. We heard a lot of great things about it. And, you know, basically cut to the next scene. It's 15 years later. I've been playing in the league ever since. And I decided a year ago, because I was, friendly with the owner, that you want to know something. I wanted to try to buy the league from him because, you know, I really just kind of fell in love with flag football and the sport and everything about it. And it obviously all stemmed from this league that played in. So made a deal with my buddy, bought the league from him. And now we're pretty sure, from what we know, we might be the biggest flag football league in the world. So just to just to give you an idea, we have like throughout the year, we have about 600 teams that play in the league. We have almost 20 divisions between men's and women's and co-ed. And, the international format that I'm sure you guys are used to, a lot of it is 5-on-5, but the majority of our league plays 6-on-6. But we introduced a 5-on-5 division recently. And yeah, we have like 25,000 people that have played in the league over the years.
Wow.
We have about, yeah, like 6,000 or 7,000 active members. So it's a really cool experience. It's a big league. It's growing. You know, obviously flag football's really growing in popularity. And it's just kind of funny that, a city in Canada has such a huge league. It's just, it's kind of funny, but we love it.
Yeah, so you threw a lot of numbers at us, but let's break this down a little bit. So you said sixes is the main format that you guys play. Is sixes non-contact, full field kind of situation?
Yeah, so we play on our sixes plays on what's normally a 7-on-7 soccer field. So basically, the length of the field is kind of like the width of an NFL or of a CFL or soccer field. So it's about 65 yards long. So we have like a 50-yard field with basically 8-yard end zones. So it's about 66 yards. And then width-wise is 30 yards. So the 6-on-6 is 30 yards wide, and the 5-on-5 we play is 25 yards wide. So it's basically, yeah, it's like 30 by 70 or 25 by 70 or, by 65 or by 70. Those are basically the dimensions of the field.
Gotcha. And are you running league every single day of the week?
Yeah, so we have three different seasons. We have our winter season, which everything is indoors. That goes from January until about May. It's actually the finals for our league is coming up next weekend. And then right after we go into what we call our spring season, which goes May, June, July, August. And that's we try to do as much outdoor as we can because obviously up north here we try to take advantage of when we could be outside because it gets freezing and snowing for most of the time. So yeah, that's May through August, and then September, October, November, and a little bit of December, we have our what we call our fall season, which again goes back indoors. So yeah, it's basically 12 months a year. We try to have games every day of the week because people have different schedules, so we try to accommodate all the people as best as we can and give them the best opportunities and times to play. So yeah, it's pretty much a 12-month a year thing, man.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me. How, with 600 teams and all of that, that many, 7,000 current members. So men's, women's, co-ed, you're doing fives and sixes. Is there any other formats or divisions you offer?
We do have a junior program that we're sort of in the midst of developing. That's one thing where there are a few different junior flag football things that are going on in Montreal, which we're super proud of. And we've sort of been associated with a few of them, and we're sort of looking at what's the best path forward for FPF in terms of juniors. But 99% of what we do is really adults, start at 16, and there's people up to, in their 60s to play in the league. So it's a cool experience.
I'm sitting here right now while we're talking. I just pulled up the Flag Plus Football website just to take a gander. And holy cow, you guys keep some pretty detailed stats. You guys keep, I mean, this is next level, man. This is awesome.
That's it, man. I mean, it's really cool. We work with a really cool software provider. Basically, the guy that I bought the league from, his name is Rob, awesome guy. He's now working on a different company that basically provides this type of software to other flag football leagues. So
Very
it's really
cool.
cool, from the scorekeeping to the website, the way we
Right.
track stats. It's a really cool customer experience for the people playing in the league, and it's exactly like what you said. We try to keep really detailed stats.
Very detailed.
Yeah,
It's down to
we
yards,
that's it.
conversions.
That's it. That's it. Yeah,
This is crazy.
we give awards every season for best quarterback, receiver, defensive player. All the stats are there, so we can really do a pretty in-depth analysis about it. And yeah, again, like it's a really cool experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what more can you tell us about what separates you? Because ultimately we have leagues all over the United States, but what separates you from other leagues organizations in Canada?
I think it's actually what you guys just sort of picked up on. I think it's two things. One is sort of the website and the stats and the sort of attention to detail that we give. One of the other things would be I think we have some of the top referees in the country working with us. We have a guys that do work in the CFL, guys that do collegiate university tackle that are FPF refs. And again, the league's been around for 20 years, so it's really a lot of people have been around for a long time and really take pride in the league. And it's a lot of people treat it like it's their baby, which is awesome. And that's sort of the vibe and the culture that we're trying to promote. And sort of on that note is, it's also like the social aspect of it. Like obviously the football is great. We have some of the best teams in Canada. I would say a lot of the people that play in our league will eventually be on the Canadian Olympic flag team that will hopefully be competitive. So talent-wise, I would say we're second to none in the country. But I think the vibe and the social aspect. So it's a lot of people make their team. It's with some of their best friends, and you meet a ton of people playing in the league, hanging around the field during games, after your game, watching other games, kind of hanging around with your boys. And with the women hanging around with your girls, like basically just doing your thing, maybe drinking some beers, which may not be allowed on the field, but we can talk about that another time. And I mean, the whole thing, it's just a vibe. It's just a vibe. People get there, get you, you get some athletic stuff, you get some, you get exercise, and you get the social aspect. So it's a cool combination of both things. And there's some, some great people that work for the league, that play in the league. So overall, it's a pretty cool vibe.
That's
Yeah,
awesome.
definitely. So this facility that basically is so it sounds like your fall and your winter seasons are indoor, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so this facility has is big enough to have multiple fields going, or it's just one field.
So in the winter, actually, we use about 12 different facilities around the city. Yeah, because obviously, for adults, our games typically on weekdays will start around 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. and go till about midnight. And because we have so many teams, we're forced to really use as many different facilities that we can, within, let's say, 20 or 25 minutes of, let's say, Central Montreal. So it's a pretty big operation to run this many teams. You need to basically, get as much field time as you can. That's sort of the biggest thing in terms of growth, is really just getting the fields, because there aren't that many of those around. And like you said, for so many of months during the year, we have to be indoors. So luckily, we've been with these facilities for a long time. We have great relationships with them, and whenever there's an open field, they know to call me, because we're going to take it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
Wow. So, and how many officials do you kind of have going through all these different facilities and leagues and everything?
Yeah, so one of the guys that I work really closely with, his name is Leo. He's our head referee, sort of our referee in chief, we call him. And I would say he has in the neighborhood of 70 refs that are involved in the league. I would say 70. The number's growing. I think it's going to be around 100 soon, because again,
You're gonna
the
need
league
it.
is growing. That's it. The league is growing, and the good news is we have a lot of people that are interested in becoming officials in the league. So, they're getting their trainings and their certifications and stuff. So that's cool. And it's also, when you get a little bit older and you stop playing, a cool way to stay in the game is maybe start reffing. So that's something we're starting to see also, which is awesome. Stay in the family.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about flag football is there's definitely a long shelf life for players. So, league organizers as yourself, you could, have guys that have been in this league the entire 20 years, right?
Oh, exactly. There are definitely hundreds of guys that are in the league from day one, which is really cool. Some playing, some refereeing, some on the staff. So yeah, it's a super long life, and hopefully I'll be in it till till it's time for me to say bye. You know what I mean?
For sure. Have you
Absolutely.
seen a shift at all, just with like international play and just kind of how the sport has grown? Has there been a shift of like the women's game taking more precedent or having a bigger growth or anything like that as far as over the men's?
I would say definitely the biggest growth area has been with women's. The sport has really taken off. I know. I mean, I'm sure it's taking off everywhere, but we find a lot of people talking about flag football in Montreal and around Canada, you know, it's really grown. But, you know, to your point, definitely, you know, we have some extremely strong women's teams in Quebec, specifically in the province of Quebec. I know Canada has some strong teams, and I think a lot of them are from Montreal. And, you know, lucky for us, you know, almost all of them play in the league. So I get to see some of the highest caliber level women's flag football, which is, you know, it's an honor for us to have them in the league. You know, I specifically play in the co-ed division with some of the girls from the from our Canadian national team that will likely be going to the Olympics. So it's, you know, for me, it's just a huge thrill.
Yeah, that's really cool. Jacob, you have any other questions you pulled off of the website or anything?
Well, I've just been glancing through everything, checking it out. I mean, like, it's very impressive. It's very impressive. So hats off to you guys, what you guys are doing. So what's something this at this scale? What would you say, like, what's the biggest thing, the most adversity you guys have to deal with?
Yeah, so I would say two things.
Okay.
The first challenge would be, you know, getting field time that everyone likes, meaning close to your house, not playing at 11 p.m. at night. Because the league is so
Right.
big, you know, unfortunately, that's sort of one of the biggest constraints that we have is getting, you know, getting the field that you want to play on, you know, the one that's 10 minutes at your house at 8 p.m., right? That's when everyone would like to play, but it's obviously very hard when you get to this scale. And then the second one would be literally just building the schedule, because what we do is we let people play on more than one team. So you can
Oof.
play, you know, women, co-ed. You could play 5-on-5. You could play 6-on-6. You know,
Oh, yeah.
you could be on four teams if you want to.
Right.
And you know, the one thing that we do, we actually hire a company to build our schedule for us. And the one thing that we guarantee when you sign up is that you won't have a conflict if you play on multiple teams. So you'll never have a game in your 5-on-5 team at the same time as your 6-on-6 team. So the craziest thing is building the schedule. If you saw what goes into it, you wouldn't believe it. And then, you know, obviously, you know, one of the biggest challenges is, you know, sometimes some of the teams aren't perfectly happy with their schedule because it can get complicated. And we get that and we understand that. But, you know, again, you know, we do our best to try to make everyone happy, but it's definitely that's pretty tough. That's a tough part of the league. Yeah.
So now do you guys run? I didn't look at the schedules. I just looked kind of the standings just to see, like, just take a look at the teams. But do you guys run, like, the same format, like, on different nights throughout the week? Or is
We
it like
do.
it?
We
Okay.
yeah, so we do. So the way that our league runs, it's a rating system, meaning you're assigned a rating based on your skill level. And
Okay.
you know, we have an algorithm that goes on into it that where the stats help to determine the rating. Plus, we have a lot of people that work on the staff that sometimes if we see an adjustment needs to be made, like let's say, you know, you're a CFL player that came in but you didn't have great stats. We're gonna rank you appropriately, knowing sort of what you can do. So
Right.
we have different divisions that have a cap. So let's say you're an 80 ranked player, and you're with six of your buddies, and you're all 80 ranked players. So your team score would be 480, because you know you take your six highest ranked players, you're all 80s. And then 480, let's say you want to play in Division Three, but the cap for Division Three as a team is 460. So you would have to go to Division Two, where let's say the cap is 500, just for
Right.
example.
Yeah.
So
Okay.
we,
Makes
yeah,
sense.
so we, yeah, so we rank every player that plays in the league, that's also a task in itself.
I can imagine.
Yeah, which is, you know, how we sort of determine which teams play in which division, because obviously, you know, what we're striving to do is get the most competitive divisions within the competitive teams within each division so that it's fair and everyone has sort of has the most fun and the biggest challenge. So
Yeah.
that's kind of how we do it. Yeah. And to your question, yeah, every division could play on any night. It depends on sort of the preferences that you fill out in your schedule form. So it's a pretty
Wow,
big ordeal, yeah.
that's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is mind blowing because I haven't heard of anything like this at all in the United States. And, you know, it's funny because I think, like, you know, the first statement you said was like, this is the biggest league in the world. And I don't know about Jacob, but right away I'm like, oh, that's a bold statement to make. But you're backing up a lot of information to say that this is, yeah, I think you can make that statement. I mean, from my general knowledge of all over the United States with flag football, maybe there's a league here or there that runs a couple nights a week throughout the year, but they're not doing anything on this kind of scale. So this is amazing to hear about, for sure.
His just to throw this, just what I'm looking at, his men's 6-on-6, just what's listed here is 9 different divisions. And it's from division 4, 5, and 6 subdivisions. You know,
that's it. So, like, you know, just to give you an example, like a crazy thing, like in the winter, we had 19 divisions. So we have, not this weekend, but next weekend, because one of the finals already happened, we have 2 full days, 9 games each of 18 finals that will be broadcasted on YouTube, streamed with announcers and broadcasters and a ton of media, you know, social media, videographers, photographers. It's a big... big production. We call it the Road Show, and it's a super cool 2-day event that a bunch of the league comes out to support. So it's pretty cool. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Wow, this is cool though.
So are there players that like have like a 99 ranking, like Madden? Is that how it works?
I think the highest ranked player we have in the league right now might be a 97, but I can tell you one of the goats of the league at one point had a 99.9 rating as a quarterback. he was the guy. He won all the top championship games for like 10 years in a row. Good buddy of mine, great guy. And he was the highest ranked player we ever had. And then as the league sort of grew a little bit more, that changed. But yeah, we have some 96s, some 97s. These are guys that I'm expecting to be on the Olympic team in 2028 in LA, representing Canada for sure.
Yeah, gotcha. How about the women's side? What's the off the top of your head? What's the highest rank?
So the thing is that the women are ranked in the same sort of level as the men, because we have a bunch of co-ed divisions. So I would say that the equivalent of, let's say, like an 80, 82 for a women, 82, 83, I think that's probably around the highest women's ratings that I've seen. And that would be the equivalent of, let's say, like a 96 or 97. But I can tell you, honestly, we have some of the most amazing female flag football players in this league. It is just incredible to watch. The level is unbelievable. And, you know, like I said, it's a thrill for me because I get to play with some of them on my team. And it's just, it's super exciting. And, you know, they're very competitive in international events that they go to. And we're just fully supportive of them and behind them 100%. You know, sometimes the USA men's team seems to have a little bit of an advantage over some of the other countries from what I've seen. But, you know, our women, careful for our women. Something you may be something happening against your USA women one of these days.
Hey, the women's, you know, it was Cayenne, right, Ant? Just to clarify.
Yeah,
Cayenne won our 5 women's pro championship on CBS. So, you know, that's a Canadian women's team.
Okay. Exactly. So just to let you know, Cayenne is playing Sub-Zero, which are probably our 2 top women's teams next Saturday. So I'll send you guys the YouTube link. Yeah.
Please
Sub-Zero
do.
And
Please
Cayenne. Do. Those are 2 of our top teams in women's, and we'll definitely send that to you 100%.
Yeah, and Jeff, you don't have to tell me about international ball, because I know that Canada has been taking it easy on the United States as far as the women's game goes. So I know that for a fact. And I know that China is where it's going to happen. I honestly think that Canada might win in the World Games. Oh, he's breaking up a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean, we're behind the girls 100%.
Yeah.
There we go. We're catching back up. Oh, we back?
Yeah.
Internet's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, so it's been fun to watch. I have had the opportunity, just like Jacob said about, you know, Canadian women's teams, they've come down to our national tournaments, our big world championship in Tampa every year, and they surprise a lot of American teams. I think sometimes, I think the consequence of being in the United States is you have some arrogance that you're just better than the rest of the world, and there's been some upsets that have happened, but yeah. Live on, you know, on CBS, everybody watched it, and Cayenne pulled off the win pretty good against a team that was made up of girls from Florida and Texas and a lot of national team members on that team. So,
but no, definitely.
But that being said, no, Jeff, sure.
Obviously the U.S. is the –
Dang it. Man, this is your fault.
I think we have some technical difficulties, yeah.
Hey, it's Ant's fault. It's fine.
I was just gonna say, obviously the US is the gold standard for tackle and flag, you know, obviously. But I think some of the other countries are gonna be improving big time, and there should be some awesome international competitions coming up.
Agreed.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that being said, Jeff, I appreciate you coming on, and I know you and me have collaborated on some things as far as on Instagram, and it's been exciting to hear about everything that's going on up there. Maybe one day down the road, me and Jacob could guest appearances, officials, or something like that. I got to sneak into Canada, though. I don't have a passport, so. We'd have to figure something out, but Jeff, thank you so much for coming on tonight, and we'll talk soon.
That's awesome, man. Hey, thanks you guys a bunch. Let's keep doing those IG collabs. We'll send you a bunch of stuff, and we'll keep things rocking, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, Jeff.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you.
See ya.
Bye. Wow, that's dude, crazy.
I was not expecting that. That is a huge – I mean, like, that's a huge league.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've done any – like, if you've seen any of what I just saw, but holy guacamole, dude. Like, that's like weeknight softball meets, like he's – they're scheduled out till August.
Oh, my God.
They have games scheduled out till August on there. I was like, oh, my God. I'm like – July, okay, whatever. That's fun. And it goes to August. I'm like, what the hell, man? That's crazy. But it's cool. Like it's,
yeah.
You can tell like they really care. They put a lot into it. I'm telling you right now, I am never giving a player a number ranking.
Oh, that's
that
wild.
That is so objective, and I am so out for that. I'm not listening to the crybabies of the United States by doing that.
Yeah, I don't know what number was more amazing to me, because as he just keeps saying these numbers, but I think the one thing that stuck out to me the most is using 12 different facilities.
And they've got them listed. You can go scroll through, there's like 7 of them on each side. And they got like little Google Maps with them that's showing all over the place. It's absolutely bananas.
Yeah, I mean, there is no way, like, in Colorado, that's a similar kind of, you have to play around the weather. So
yeah, I get that.
You know, but they're the biggest league in Colorado. They've given up as far as weather goes, and they only run 2 seasons a year, and so it's 16 weeks, and that's the biggest league in Colorado. This league is running 7 days a week year round.
it looks like they take Wednesdays off. And it's not every Wednesday.
Crazy.
It's unreal, dude.
Because and then I know, like, Supreme, that's in Orlando, right? Is that where?
Yeah, but they only play on Sundays. Like, it's a big league.
Yeah, right? Dude. It's only one day a week.
Like, it's a big thing. But you know, they have quantity there.
Yeah.
It's definitely a lot of people there that are playing. I mean, those teams, it's, you know, kind of quiet. Anyway, you know what else has a lot going on? Khaki Bar. Check out my guy Kevin McDonald. All right, he just came out with a new spray, a new kind of like gel to go with the Khaki Bar.
It's so like a little bomb.
Yeah, can you never do that again, please? That's so weird. What are you doing? Where's my Khaki Bar? All right, so this Khaki Bar here. You know, it may look like an ordinary bar of soap, but what's this going to do? It's going to make your football throw better. It's going to make your receivers catch it. It's going to make your defenders not be able to intercept it because your receivers are going to catch the ball better. You know, you need a tacky bar. And hit my guy Kevin McDonald up. He'll get you taken care of.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And it sounds like Kev's got big news coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, I'd be sick if he didn't include us in that. But, hey, you know, whatever Kev needs to do, it's his world. We're just living in it.
Hey, I just want to make sure that he gives us credit at some point, because it seems like his business has continued to grow since partnering with us. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you want to put words in his mouth, that's fine. You know, I'm
well, yeah, we do have what? Yeah. All right. Thanks, man. Yeah,
no problem.
Appreciate that. We do have another guest.
Yep.
And,
5 minutes past what time she got on?
I'm sorry. You were about to say something crazy and you stopped yourself from talking, which
so, when did I do that?
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. So our second Canadian guest of the night, I'm gonna let you, your favorite Canadian, you say that after you just earlier, you told that guy that you just met today that he was your favorite Canadian.
I never said that. Don't do that. I just said he's got a really cool league. I didn't say he was my favorite. Miss Avery is my favorite Canadian.
That's a very good answer.
How are you?
What's up, Avery?
I'm good. A little tired, but I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. Good. Good.
Yeah.
Huh?
Who was your first Canadian?
Jeff, and say his last name.
Okay.
I think it's Rosenblatt. I don't know. Flag. Flag plus football.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah, that means Avery doesn't know what that is.
I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
Where's Quebec? Can we talk geography? I didn't want to embarrass myself. Oh my God. Yet, but can we talk geography for a second? Where is Quebec?
Last time that you guys are really bad with geography.
Well, first of all, it's just me. You guys.
It's just me.
It's not
where. Okay, I know that Toronto is like directly above New York. I know that
directly. Okay.
It's like New York City, and then you just like you, I'm it's sorry, just like Avery.
You came on here.
You just like walk across the bridge.
Meaningful
to Toronto.
Conversation, and he's talking about a bridge that connects New York City to Toronto. I mean, next thing you know, you're going to say there's a slide at the other side of Toronto where they can slide down and go to Santa Claus at the North Pole.
Okay, that now we're just talking crazy, Jacob.
Oh, that's crazy.
Quebec is a province beside Ontario, so it's east and a little north.
Province means state for us.
Correct.
Okay, so what Quebec? What is Quebec in Ontario?
Quebec City and Quebec the province.
So, oh, okay, and is that got the ocean? That is that the farthest east one?
The ocean. Oh my gosh!
No, that would be what? That would be the end. So the Nova Scotias and the Newfoundlands and the Prince Edward Islands are all over.
I'm pretty sure you're near Quebec. No.
I could drive to Quebec. I can get there in 6 hours. Well, 4 and 5 hours.
Avery, I'm sorry.
Quebec City is a lot farther to get to because it's about 2 hours inside of Quebec. So.
Avery, let me ask you a really important question, Avery. When you go to a lake, is there a beach at a lake?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. There is no such thing as a lake or a beach at a lake.
Why? That's sand. Why? You're going at the water.
No. That's at the beach, at the ocean.
So you would just say you're going to the lake and then there's sand there. And then you would just chill on the sand at the lake.
I don't chill on the lake sand. No, that's gross.
You call it lake sand. You call it a beach.
No, that's not a beach. The beach is at the ocean.
Okay, so what do you call sand beside a lake?
That's the spot beside the lake. It's not the beach.
It needs to have a name, so find a name.
It doesn't have to.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't have to put labels on everything in life, you two.
This is true.
Okay, Avery. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. We do talk about flag football outside of geography and food that we dislike or like. The last time we saw you was in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And, I do want to talk to you about Vegas and your experience there, because you had the opportunity to officiate with my daughter for 3 days. Can you just share, you know, good, bad, and ugly about Vegas with us?
Good, bad, and ugly. Ugly would be my knees because they blew up like watermelons and they were horrendous. Good is watching her progression from day one to the last day, because technically by the Sunday, it was just the two of us. So, you know, it was just a matter of, okay, let's work on. So the first day was just getting used to the calls and getting used to moving up and down the field and, you know, not being so sure of exactly what's happening and a lot of information coming in, right? Because you had myself, you had Sonia, you had Jen, you had her, like just a lot of information. And she just kind of soaked it all up. And then this day two, it was myself and, what was that gentleman's name? The
Kevin.
The Lance guy. The Lance brought him. I'm horrible with names. Kevin. I am horrible. Kevin, thank Kevin. You. So it was, yeah. So
full name drop.
It was just three of us. So in that, I think she learned a lot that day, because I made them go back and forth with positions. Do you know what I mean? So she didn't just do rushing bag. She didn't just do the deep purse. She was back and forth and back and forth. So then by the time we got to Sunday and it's just the two of us, obviously we didn't switch back and forth with being the head official. Her movement was there. Her confidence was there, you know, and because it was just the two of us. And if she had questions, she would ask, she'd throw her flags, just build up of confidence just from the 3 days. So it was actually beautiful to watch her progression. And I was very, very proud of her. And she hustled on the third day. And that's the day when people are their worst officials, is they run the first day. Oh, Saturday or Friday, they want to show off. Jacob, I got this. I got you. And then the Sunday, they walk in, they're making horrible calls. They're not following the play. They're not making it to goal line. They're whatless. And so it was great to watch her just be hustling. And I was very proud of her.
That's awesome. That's really cool to hear. Anything as far as like the games you officiated that you want to touch on? Any crazy rule things that popped up?
Well, I'll do an error on my part, because I guess I was just exhausted. So I went Canadian is what I did. So in touch football, we do 7-on-7s. And say there is an offensive penalty on a, what you guys would call a point after touchdown, we call a convert. And the convert is, it's good. So they got their 1 point or their 2 point, but there was a penalty. So if the defense doesn't accept the penalty, then they get their convert. So they have to accept the penalty, and then we would just move them back or forth. In USA flag, you guys are like, screw it, done, move on, go the other way. So I was getting ready to give a team a redo, as Pat kind of called it. And he's like, nah, they screwed up, go the other way. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, well, it was a good challenge on the defensive part, because he's like, listen, I don't think that's right. So Pat came on. He's like, nope, that's not right. Another one that was a challenge. There was a really good challenge that game too. I don't know if I can remember what it was. Oh, that's what it was. So I called, what did I call? Impeding the rush. 100% it was. And then, oh, it was a safety. So ignore me. It was
illegal forward pass.
Illegal forward pass.
I remember this.
In the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
Was that what it was? Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. And sure I was like, oh, and they were just like, oh, they should have gotten their 2 points or yeah, whatever the case may be. And so it was a really good challenge. And I was very proud of the guy. He wasn't yelling. He wasn't screaming. He was just like, I like challenge. I'm like, okay, well, hold on. And I, you know, and this was after the fact. And then you guys all had to come and give him his points. And then did he get his points or did he get his points? I can't remember.
He did. Things are he got his points. We gave him the ball back or we gave the ball to the other team. They were moving it. Everybody was okay.
But I like Canadian again. Like if when it comes to default and I'm tired, I just do what we do in Canada. And you guys are just going to have to deal with it.
well, you know, it's not, can't be our way or the highway. I mean, it can because it's, you know, our league, but
yes,
it doesn't have to be.
Yes, but I forget. I really would wish I could remember what it was because it does bode for a good conversation as to what should happen in that circumstance. And I really wish I could remember the whole entire. See, if, like I asked you guys, you told me what we were going to talk about, I could have tried to remember that and talk to other people and have that whole conversation instead of looking like I don't remember what's happening, which I don't because I'm a senior citizen.
It's okay. We don't remember what's happening either. We just reffed a tournament this past weekend together and I couldn't tell you half of it.
How did that go?
I have to ask my crew chief over here how it went.
I want to see Jacob in stripes. That's what I want to see.
He looks great.
I want to see him doing the stripes and dropping the flags and flinging the.
He looks great. I learned a lot from him all day. It was really good.
What'd you learn?
Huh?
What'd you learn?
No, I learned that. I mean, just you just got this movement to you. There's just this it's like an essence almost, you know.
Avery, I ran out of gas by about 3 o'clock.
Okay, well, did you feed yourself Subway sandwiches?
No.
What'd you feed
yourself?
Don't
even get me started on the
lunch. We're not gonna talk about food. That was a issue.
Because that's what it gets you, right? You have to eat. You have to hydrate all day. Like, I know people wait usually until the break. By then, it's too late.
Coke's out there.
That's not hydrating. That's just
sure it is. It's liquid. It's fine.
Yeah, I did not plan well enough. I brought, like, one case of water, and I probably should have brought us two. So that
only
didn't help.
Six Cokes. Those were gone.
Was it hot there?
Oh, yeah, it was hot. These are not permanent.
Yeah. we were expecting rain and wind, and it was sunny.
Yeah, sunny and hot.
Okay.
Yeah, sunny and hot.
It was great. So,
I tell you, I'm a fair weather ref, so I get it. I'm not trying to ref in the cold weather anymore. If it was not cool for that, I was not happy with you.
I didn't have my weather button with me.
Well, you know, can't you just move it 1 month later?
Mm-mm.
No, that's a shame. Because, you know, it's always rain. I thought it was actually in a hurricane.
There's not a good federal holiday for us to land on in February.
Gotcha. We have Family Day.
You have what?
Family Day.
What is that?
It's around Valentine's Day. It's a family day. You get a holiday for your family.
Nah.
You're both looking at me like, what? Seriously, look it up. It's family day. We have family day in February.
It's probably the same day as President's Day.
I was going to say, it's probably like Abraham Lincoln's birthday or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's for us to spend time with our families.
What day is that?
It's the third Monday? Second Monday? Monday.
It's President's Day.
Yeah.
No, it's not. President's Day is like the 18th, dude.
Yeah,
which is like the third yes, Monday.
It is not.
Okay. Is it after that?
Like, we're not trying to prove a point here or anything.
Oh, this is great, Avery. You should come on the show more often because literally you sided with me on the beach, and now with the date in February. This is great. What else can we talk about? Oh my gosh. Okay, so
it's just a long day over here. It's fine.
Yeah. Does it say I love fat on your shirt?
What?
Fat Shack.
Okay, I was like, all I saw was some. I love fat.
Yeah, yeah. He's playing on what he's got.
What?
I don't know. Sounded good.
It's a restaurant I used to work for about close to 5 years. So they're celebrating their 15th anniversary this year. So I just wanted to give a little shout out to them. So.
Yeah, because nice. We have super sweet clocks running gear that he never wears. That's cool. That's cool.
Because and look at actually
one, I could have worn it. Right now, but
yeah, see, and Avery could.
Sure. That's true, but
long sleeves.
What?
I like zipped up long sleeves.
Zipped up. We don't do zippers. We don't do zippers.
Why not?
Because they get in the way and they break.
What?
And we don't have time for that. I had a zipper break on my luggage coming last weekend.
Well, that's because you put too much clothes in there.
Yeah, I know.
Avery, literally, it was a one-day work trip, and he had to check a bag.
No, I didn't.
What is that?
Stop it. The plane was the size of a closet.
Oh, that small plane where you can't put anything in it?
Yes. Yeah. So I had to do the valet check right at the gate. Mm. He wants to check a bag.
Is that how he sounded?
Exactly like that. Calls me, sends some random guy's truck waiting for me afterwards. Shout out Travis, not random guy. But he's waiting for me outside. He's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to get my bag. You checked a bag? I didn't check a bag. They made me check a bag.
Yeah.
Was it going to fit?
When I went to... When we went to Baton Rouge, I got one of those small planes. So because I only do carry on and my knapsack, and they're like, no, that guy that can't go in. And when you walk in, you're
so
like,
oh wow, yeah, I had a duck.
Yeah, so tiny. Yeah, there was one seat on the one side and two on the other. Mm-hmm. You're like, please God, just go up in the air and come back down. I beg you. Yeah, yeah. It was not fun. I didn't like that one.
Yeah, I was too big for the one seat.
So all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you had that, one and a half hour
Uber
that you had to take?
Hour and a half drive just to get back to the airport.
Yeah,
it was stuck on ice.
1:05, it was great.
Show off.
Speaking of tournaments in the United States, what's been your favorite one so far?
Ooh, that's a good one. So far... I actually enjoyed Vegas.
Okay.
I enjoyed days of every one. So I would say the Saturday of Tampa, the Saturday of, where we were last year, San Diego. Thirdly, enjoyed my day of Nashville because I got all sun and no rain. then you guys got killed after that. And I enjoyed Vegas. It was hot and I like being hot. It's, and I enjoyed the, especially on the last day with it's Keturah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The last day with her was great because we just watching her develop, it was really cool. And just, she's hilarious too, right? So are you sure she's your daughter? Because she's hilarious. But so I enjoyed that. And and then I got to hang out with Sonia and Jen. So we went to, the dam, the Hoover Dam, which I guess was not really called the Hoover Dam in the beginning. But anyway, we did that. And so I kind of got like a mini vacation and got some sun and got to ref and got to hang out with really nice people. So far, I'd say the Vegas is. But I'm looking forward to San Antonio, and I'm looking forward to Tennessee. So, because I've never been to either of those places as well. So I'm looking forward to those two tournaments. But I don't know which one might be your favorite.
Tennessee will be fun.
Yeah, I think so. I'm looking forward to the food.
Yep, that'll be fun. Yeah.
Right? So, which one's your favorite tournament from the last year?
Yeah, Ant.
My favorite tournament in the last year.
That's a hard one, right?
It is a hard question. Hmm. Last year, if I stretch it out to like the whole of 2024, Miami might have been my so
Miami was good.
That was a good tournament. I mean,
Tampa.
Huh?
Was Miami last year instead of Tampa, or Miami was just another spot? No. Okay.
No, we had a regional last March.
Okay.
Yeah.
In Miami. Yeah, that was interesting for sure.
Yeah.
If Tampa was warm, I would have loved it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be warm.
Tampa would heat up about 15 degrees.
Yeah. Right? It would just make a big difference. Like, just everything about it would be nice. Mm-hmm. Right? Just
2 weeks out of the year that the weather's going.
And here we are.
Yeah. This is how it goes.
What about you, Jacob?
Yeah, what about you, Jacob?
What about me?
What would you say is your favorite?
My favorite? Time? I have favorite moments at every tournament. So okay. not just one. I enjoy every experience. I think every experience is different. I don't know.
That's very political. Why don't you just say last year, April, when you met this amazing Canadian?
Here we go. So it'd probably be March of last year.
I got you.
All right. So the truth, honest answer, probably New York 2022.
Okay.
And there it's not so much the tournament. It's not so much all the extra. There's just a lot of backstory with it.
Mm.
So.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Mm.
Cool. Another ominous comment from Jacob.
This moment's brought to you by Tacky Bar. Get yourself in a sticky situation. Get yourself back out. Kev, you need me there for promos all day. He better clip this and let him watch that.
Yeah. So Avery, so your next up is San Antonio. You're not officiating in Canada anymore? Is that?
No, this year I'm running a league with two dear friends of mine. It's the SCFFL. It's the Simcoe County Flag Football League out in the Barrie Simcoe area. And we actually started on Sunday. We had our first league day on Sunday, and it's kids all the way from, I think, Learn to Play is 7 years, they're 7 year olds, all the way to 17 year olds. So, yeah, it started small a few years ago, and now it's huge. They just love it up there. They love flag football. They love learning. We are in the process of trying to make some more changes for the summer session, just to get it more in line with what we feel flag will be in a few years, and just to help these kids develop, because it's a developmental league. It's there to teach them the sport, teach them everything, like, the little nuances of it, not so much the competitive edge of it, but so that they can learn. So it's a safe place for them to learn. It's teaching parents how to coach. It's teaching, we have some really young officials there. We have some veteran officials, you know, they've done flag or high school and stuff, but we do so many different formats that this way it allows them to just learn those formats. And so I'm really proud of the league. My girlfriends have done a fantastic job in developing the league and their brand, and just making sure that there's a whole bunch of kids and like, we get there and parents are like, oh, we are so glad this is back. We've been dying to come here. We have grandparents, parents, kids, They bring lawn chairs. They bring blankets. They're just sitting there just having the time of their lives and just really enjoying it. And then Sunday's weather was great. So it was just a really great way to start out. And as you both know, I've kind of been up and down with, you know, should I retire? Should I not? And so it was kind of nice to go out there on Sunday and just see. Stop giving me that face, Jacob. Like, come on.
You throw the R word around.
Yeah. So last year I didn't help. Last year I took a break from the league. So a lot of the parents were like, oh, you're back. And so it's great. So that was fun. So I'll be doing that. I'm going to June 28th. I'm doing a Hamilton NFL flag tournament in Hamilton. And then I may do another one. I'm not sure for Football Canada has their championships. But I have to get my name has to be put forward to Football Canada in order for me to do those tournaments. And I don't ref tackle or touch in the Southern Ontario area, really. I just don't do it because I'm not gonna go and ref a 7 o'clock game to get home at 9:30 for a 4-on-4 that's supposed to be 7-on-7. It's just not no. I'd have to drive like 45 minutes. And by the time I get home and then I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I would pass out. So they don't see me. And if they don't see me, they can't really give my name. And if I call them and say, hey, you know, Football Canada person, I would love to do this tournament.
You almost said the name. you almost said the name.
I did. That's I almost funny. Did. Football Canada person.
I will call Football Canada person myself and be like, hey, dummy, I see her all the time.
They do more. They need me to do more in the leagues here, and they need to see me do more, and so that they can, you know, refer my name. So
you're getting better reps here at home or here in the States.
I just told Jacob that one of the refs that I used to work with him, but I don't, he's the, I guess the RIC in the Burlington area. It's how to explain this. So you have your GTA area, then you have your Hamilton area. And in between there's a few cities and townships and stuff. And so he does the RIC in there. So anyway, he's the rep for NFL Canada, really. And so he's given my name forward. So I'm going to go to Canton in July. So there's more than enough reffing. I can literally put my feet up after that, I think, for a while.
I don't think so. You got to come back. So I just want to touch on one thing at the very beginning of when you started talking about, you said your deer friends. What kind of deer are you hanging out with? Oh, okay.
So I have very close friends. One is actually I call her my birthday twin, and the other one is she's actually a twin, and we're really good friends. And they're extremely dear to me. When my mom passed, they were my rocks. So I would do pretty much anything for them. So. That's what I mean by dear friends, not that they're dear.
Okay.
Come on, man. This is how they talk in Burlington. All right.
She's not in Burlington. I can't listen to anything. Get the map back out. Here we go.
Can we talk about? I actually have a serious question because I don't know what Jacob just did. So you said that there's a bunch of formats in the youth league?
Yes. So, there used to be, I'm not sure, but in a high school, there's, I think, 11 on 11. They have girls blocking like this. And then there's, obviously, we have 5-on-5. There's 6-on-6s. There's 7-on-7s. There's all different kinds of formats of football in the youth level. Just depends on what area you, and then of course some Sunday leagues, because they want participation, they'll do like their own kind of weird rules with steamboats, or which is like a play clock, a pass clock. So no direct rush. So someone starts, like, you count the pass clock, what we call steamboats, and then once that's done, they can cross and rush the quarterback.
And steamboats are traditionally used in a river. Or a lake, not on the beach.
Instead of saying one Mississippi, two Mississippi, you say one steamboat, exactly. Two steamboats. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Oh, my gosh. Like that.
Yeah.
We can just move to Canada, Jacob. You're so Canadian.
I'm so sorry, Avery. I try to think of myself as a cultured human being, but, you know, Captain Cream Cheese here.
Captain Cream Cheese. Okay. All right. Fair enough. well, Avery, I appreciate you coming back on the show. Now you're in the kind of the next level. You've been on the show multiple times, so congratulations.
Yeah, wow. Next step is regular.
Oh boy, I don't know, because you know I speak my mind once I become very comfortable.
Hey, you ain't gonna hurt our feelings.
This
guy right here encourages it.
This is true.
Which guy? The logo?
The logo.
Yeah. Not the logo.
Who else am I pointing at? I'm pointing at you. I'm pointing at the logo.
He did that really well, too. Like,
I'm doing that until I realize I'm confident with the way I'm going.
You're like...
That's awesome. All right, well, Avery, we'll see you in a couple weeks in San Antonio.
Sounds good to see you.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely, see you, Avery.
All right, bye.
Bye. Okay, man. I actually had no clue what she was talking about when she said steamboat. So I'm really glad
how they count one steamboat, dude. So we. What? How was I supposed to know that? All right, so story time. This is the only reason I know it. So we're in Orlando. I'm not going to name drop the official, but. She's on a field. They're doing fives non-contact. She's counting one steamboat, two steamboat, and these dudes are losing their mind. I come walking up, they're like, Jacob, what the fuck? She's saying steamboat. What the fuck is a steamboat? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, a steamboat is something that you put in the river or on a lake. And they're like, no, fuck that. Blah, 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 blah. And I go to her, and I'm like, what are we doing? I said, you're saying steamboat instead of 1-1000? She's like, yeah. I said, okay, that's fine. I'm cool with it. I said, number one, as long as you're consistent. Number two, what's your partner saying? Partner was saying 1-1000. So it was different. And they were getting different. I said, do me a favor. I said, I don't care what you guys say. You guys come together and figure it out. But say the same thing. And they got it all together. And afterwards, we talked. We had a good laugh about it. But I had never heard steamboat either. And I was like, that is awesome.
Yeah. You're into that.
What?
You're into that.
I'm fine with it. Have fun. Okay. This is supposed to be a fun game.
I don't know why you're yelling at me. How can you yell at me to tell me to have fun?
Oh, my God. Have fun!
Speaking of fun, man, there's just a lot going on in the world of flag football. You know I love to talk about everything going on. So I just want to recap this weekend, and then you and me we have to talk about that Spring John that went down this past week.
All right, let's talk about it.
All right, so first and foremost, though, I just want to review just this past weekend in the world of flag football. There was, in L.A., they had Tough 7, which was 7's high school girls flag football tournament. That's amazing. They pumped their media and everything into high school. I love that. The Canadian College Championship happened, and you know, that was exciting. There was the King Bowl in Europe. There was the Spring Bowl in Tijuana. Of course, my guys, the Bears, in the PF3 in Denver, they had their playoffs. They won the first 5-man pro championship in the PF3. And then some of those guys also won the 8-man championship earlier in the day. Cayman Islands, they finished up their regular season, which is, you know, exciting. Red Stripe, let's go. And then everybody's favorite Curry Bomber, Law and Dula, they had their first annual Fiesta Bowl.
Did you say first annual?
Yeah.
You can't call something a first annual.
Why not?
Because it hasn't happened. You can't say something's been yearly if it hasn't happened.
But they said they're going to do it next year. They said they're going to do it next year.
Next year will be the second annual, but you can't have a first annual. You have an inaugural and then your second annual.
Okay. All right.
I apologize. Continue.
All right, Mr. Webster's Dictionary. They had their inaugural Fiesta Bowl. From what I heard, it was as usual, the Bay Area. They just have a vibe there. And they had all kinds of, all kinds of stuff going on. I love their trophies and the rings that they had, just, you know, very unique. We won't get in too much into the controversy of it all, but the NAIA had their women's flag football national championship for the colleges that participate. It just wrapped up today. My team, Ottawa, they are now the 5-time champs. I won the bracket challenge. That is crazy. So I know that they, and I don't know the rest of the colleges or, you know, I don't know too much, but I will say that in general, colleges right now are kind of wrapping up the benefit of the COVID year. So the Ottawa program seemed to benefit from that because they have some of these girls there was a COVID year that they used. And so they did all 5. So
they had some chemistry and some time together. That's cool. Good for them though. I mean, that's what you're supposed to have. So, you know, you look at Ottawa, you look at Kaiser, you look at Baker. Those are all 3 very strong. I think Thomas University. That's another strong school. The semifinal games, if you look at both games, you call it, say what you want, they're both close games.
Yeah.
That's 4 great schools now. You know, I think you look at the teams that made the bracket, because I think they only took the top 8.
And then I think other school, there was like a NJCCA or something. There was another championship.
But see, there was another championship, but I think that was something separate. I don't think that was a part of what they were doing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that was separate. I think that was like schools that weren't quite at a varsity level for flag.
Gotcha.
Or sanctioned or what? It's something. It was different schools, it looked like. But to my point, you know, you look at the 8 schools that they took for the bracket, and those are 8 impressive teams. You know, those are teams that are winning their conference, are finishing at the top of their conference, and are doing well and producing, you know, college caliber, you know, ladies playing flag. It's incredible. You know, we see 8 teams right now. I could see a 16-team bracket next year, a 24-team, you know. And you're not going to see the games where these teams are getting blown out 86-0, 55-0, 55-6. These are going to be all good games, including pool play.
Yeah.
That should be the first.
Yeah, you know, and I know it's always easy to kind of talk, like, comparison as far as, like, when we do GOAT conversations and stuff like that. Where, like, people don't want to include Wilt Chamberlain because there were, you know, a small amount of teams, you know, during that time or whatever. You don't get to choose what era you play in. You don't get to choose who you're going against. But, you know, yeah, I think early on, Ottawa just happened to get a lot of the, you know, really high caliber talent. But that, it's spreading out. And the gap is not as big as it was when they first won their, you know, first championship, where, like you said, they were winning, you know, 60-0 in a championship game. Right. That game was 13-12 at halftime, and it really took some amazing defensive, you know, interceptions and you know, turnovers that's how Ottawa ended up, you know, winning in the second half. But that was a close game, and it could have gone either way. It really could have.
Yep, for absolutely. Sure.
Yeah, so that's really cool, you know, to see and just seeing, you know, hearing the announcer talk about players. There are a lot of freshmen that were on the field that you know, going to be the next generation after this first initial, like, COVID, you know, I don't know what to call it, graduating class, you know, it has moved on. So, you know, so that's all exciting stuff, and I love just seeing – you know, the growth of women's flag. I wish they would do 5s. I don't know who, you know, when that decision was made and who decided that they should do 7s in college. I really wish it was just 5s.
It's simple. It's so simple why they do it. There's already a collegiate structure with NERSA that's been built in that they were able to just very quickly and very seamlessly adapt and move over. Whereas Fives, unfortunately, is still very spread. Unfortunately, in my mind, and I could be right, I could be wrong, IFAF is still such a, it's a newer format, it's a newer concept as opposed to NERSA, that you won't see the teams, you won't see like the older generations are used to that. Plus, this is something that college has accepted. They're going to go with what's already in place for them. That's the only reason they're playing sevens.
Yeah,
if they had a shred of common sense, they would move to fives and be ready for the Olympics in 2028. They would be helping streamline these teams and these players to the national team to be ready to go in 2028.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that I see, and of course, it's fives and sevens are different, but the biggest thing that is completely obsolete in five game is the blocker. Yeah, and absolutely. So in sevens, I mean, you are literally training a player to be screening, to roll out, to, do a lineman release, those kind of things. And in five, that's not there. So I don't know, I know they're very young and their brains can probably click back and forth and they have no issue at all, but, I just think it would be cool to see that.
But. We're a couple old farts. We can't flip that switch as fast as some of these young whippersnappers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I remember when I was, when I was playing and we would have like, before there were blocks, where you would finish the bracket at the same time and you would have like two games of non-contact and then you would have two games of contact. Or vice versa. And I remember just like literally going from contact to a non-contact game and plowing through the center. whoops.
Yeah, I would have to, I would play five contact one day and then move to another format the next day. I wouldn't play back to back because I would do the exact same thing.
For sure. So, all right, man. So let's get into it. Let's talk about this spring John, man. So we had the opportunity to go officiate at ESA, Elite Sports Association. Is that right? He had his spring John. It wasn't in Philly, which was, surprising to me.
It
but
was
an
literally
amazing
across
location.
The river. It was at Rutgers,
Yeah. Fields were great, amazing location, right next to the Delaware River, looking over the Benjamin Franklin Bridge, which was cool. And we, I don't want to impose. So, Jacob, tell me how you felt your day went, good, bad, and ugly.
No, go ahead, man. You were already rolling, man. I'm not going to interrupt you.
I just said I didn't want to impose. I mean, I just want to.
Oh, my God. Okay. No, man, I had a blast. It's for me, it's really nice to, be able to put a different hat on. And a lot of times when I officiate now, it's not necessarily that it's forced, but it's required of me. It's not a choice for me to be able to officiate and officiate what I want. We kind of had the luxury of, we had a great guy in Ed who was, we have a good relationship with. We've had a good relationship for quite some time. And we reached out and said, hey, we'll be free. Do you need us? And he was like, absolutely. But it's like you said, man, it's a great complex. It's a great time. The competition was great. Overall, we had a really fun day. Like I said, it's nice for me to be able to kind of just take that breath and relax and just officiate the game and be in the moment of the game. We had some really great games. We had some games that were kind of sloppy. But for the most part, I felt like we had some really great games on our field.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we did, three championship games, which was cool.
Yep. Three of the five championships.
Co-ed women's and men's pro.
Yep.
I think it's something that it's so funny, because how many times, let me rephrase this. The amount of times that I've experienced somebody looking at me from the sideline and saying, oh, there's only this amount of time left, game's over. Why can't we just end it? Just do this. And it's like you have to let games play out, because the things that will happen in flag football and the amount of times, like literally in Vegas, I was talking to, you know, we had him on. Jaime talked about how you got to let these things play out. He had a different phrase in Spanish that he said. The one day, it was like there was only two games out of all the games we did that we felt like, yeah, that team managed the clock correctly. Now, we had an interesting situation happen in the co-ed championship where, you know, people are going to make a decision in the heat of the moment. I think co-ed gets so screwy in the whole, do you take the points you can get with men's, you know, a 6 point, or do you take the chance that you're going to be able to score from the 1 yard line and you kneel it? And ultimately that's what factored into that. Plus, you don't have a set coach. You know, sometimes the women's teams have set coaches, but in co-ed, so you're having like people screaming from, you know, the sideline and, no, go in. No, don't go in. Kneel it. Go back. So it was an interesting situation, and the way the game played out was probably not what either one of us expected, but it was a really good game for sure. So, So that being said, I really enjoyed being able to officiate with you. It's been something that you know, I've wanted to for a while, and I've been begging, pleading with you. So thank you for the opportunity to, let me officiate with you. But I don't know. I had a lot of fun. I was able to pull a fast one on you. I knew that there was a moment that you weren't necessarily paying attention to where I was on the field, because why would you? And I just booked it down the field to make sure I beat you to the goal.
So. I feel like you do this at the most inopportune times. You know, it was a breakaway. Nobody was around. I'm like, all right, perfect. She beat me. No big deal. I'm going to get downfield. I'll get there when I get there. And I look up. What do I see? I see the moving blob. Boom. Fly right by. I'm like, oh, great. I'm never going to hear the end of this. I hadn't even got the car in drive yet. And here you are, freaking in third gear, flying down I-95. But no, man. Philly was a great time. Ed, shout out to you, man. Appreciate you. Travis, yes, Ed, appreciate you guys both for taking us out Friday night, getting us some cheesesteaks. We won't name the place, but they were whack. According to you guys, I thought they were okay. It was a good, what do they call it?
A good John. It was a good John.
It was that. So we had a good time. I appreciate you guys. Like I said, it was a lot of fun for me. So I would definitely be willing to do it again.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it was cool, just the drive. I brought two of my kids out this time. Yeah. So they were having a lot of fun on the sidelines, just being a part of the tournament. But we're not going to name the place that we went on Friday night, because we don't want to bring bad press or anything like that. But I got to say that it was a bad John. But you know what? What I knew that it was not going to be good is the fact that on their menu, they were offering toppings, broccoli. They had blue cheese crumbles, which I love blue cheese. Okay. But I'm not putting that on a cheesesteak. Definitely not putting broccoli. Are you putting broccoli on a cheesesteak, bro?
No, dude. I'm not putting no crap on there. You're putting moldy cheese on anything? No. Putting little trees? No.
It's a bad John. Yeah.
I'm not saying it.
And so we went to a cheese. This is my issue right here. All right. We got Travis. We got Rock. We got Ed constantly giving me a hard time. I sent them the menu showing that, hey, they got cream cheese on these cheesesteaks as part of the menu. Never once were they like, oh, well, you know, sometimes in Philly we have random vegetables on or different types of. They never said anything like that. And we walk into a place in Philadelphia, okay? We weren't in Jersey. We weren't in Delaware. In Philadelphia, and they've got broccoli on the menu, bro. Get out of here with that. That's a bad John right there.
Yeah, we were 5 minutes from the Phillies park, so.
That's right, yeah. So that being said, I'm not convinced that what I could do with a cheesesteak is worse than what was offered at that place. So I think that the next time we go, we definitely got to find a better place, and maybe it means we got to stick in line for 45 minutes or something like that. But
I'm with it.
Yeah, for sure. So that being said, that was fun, man. We had a little Canadian episode.
A little north of the border.
Yeah, a little, and I still don't know where things are north of the border, but.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I do feel like it's cool, man. This is good for me because we have people from all over the country, the continent. We have people that can just share information with me. Not only are we learning about flag football all over North America, but we're learning about geography, man. It's a beautiful thing.
Who is we? I know this.
Oh my God.
I paid attention during math class.
I just sorry, it's me. All right, my bad. You know, we all can't.
Anyway,
you know, shout out to the first annual Fiesta Bowl.
All right, guys, so check it out. So we got merch. We just put our first shipment in. We got ref shirts. We got long sleeve, short sleeve hoodies. We got two different design of hoodies. Pretty dope. We got joggers. We got backpacks.
Yeah, backpacks, shiesty masks.
We got everything. You name it, we got it. We'll probably have tennis shoes our next order. You know, but why not? But, you know, we got merch. Hit us up if you need some merch. We can get an order put in pretty quickly. We got a pretty great deal. Shout out Unk for hooking that up for us. All this goes through Unk Apparel. Let's see what else. We're on YouTube. Check us out. Like, subscribe, share if you haven't already, please. If you don't want to watch us, you know, see our ugly mugs and check out that guy up at the top. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, MySpace, YourSpace, Facebook, Instagram. Snapchat, probably. I don't know if you got that or not. I don't. But we're everywhere. You know, check us out. You know, give us that like. We got a link tree in the bio. You know, you can follow all of our, you can find all of our places there. But we appreciate everybody's continued support. We're going to, you know, we'll be here week in and week out.
Yeah. And been checking out the Smack and Sunflower Seeds.
That's right. I was chewing on some cinnamon churro tonight.
Nice. On the way back from Philly, I was I checked out the lemon pepper. It's great. Me and Katura both loved it. So okay. So we're in. We're gonna go through all these different flavors. I think they have like 11 different flavors, bro. Mm-hmm.
I do.
Yeah.
Really affordable. Check it out. You can get a big giant bucket like this. I think right now they're running a pretty good deal. It's a 5 gallon bucket full of sunflower seed packs. So
there you go.
Give them a check out.
Yeah, and next week we got something planned around East Coast Nationals, right? Is that what we're looking at?
Do we?
I think so. I think that's what we were talking about. East Coast Nationals is June
7th and 8th.
7th and 8th. There we go. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. On the horizon, you know, summertime, all the tournaments kick up. And but, you know, we'll be in San Antonio, East Coast Nationals, then is it Gatlinburg after that?
Yep, we're headed to Gatlinburg to do a youth tournament there. It's going to be pretty fun.
Yep, and then, the best draft tournament in the United States. Camel City. I'm so excited, and I'm telling you right now, we are making that drive down. Katura will be on the sideline reporting, because I don't think that the lineman of North Carolina can handle her sass. So if she's officiating, it could go bad. But that being said, please continue to just hit us up. We love the comments and people messaging us, sending us videos. We do not take offense to anything as far as that goes. So please, feel free. Call us out on stuff. Say that we suck as officials. Whatever you want to do. But let's have fun with the conversation and get involved into it. Hey, I know that there was a lot of chirping about how we officiated this past weekend. I would love to see videos so we could talk about it. I don't mind, nobody's perfect at the end of the day, and we all make mistakes. There's a point where every official gets a little tired. Guess what? Our eyeballs blink. Sometimes we miss things that happen on the field,
I'm a cyborg, so speak for yourself.
Oh, okay. But again, just me. I gotta remember, I can't say we whenever anything I'm talking about, admitting fault, I can't bring you into
it. I don't make mistakes. Just kidding. No, 1000%. I know there was times where I goofed up. Everybody does it. So.
Yeah, but hey, shout out to all the officials out there, near and far. I saw at the King Bowl, I saw Phillip rocking the USA flag blue stripe jersey. That's awesome. I've seen Miguel rocking an UNC ref jersey in Mexico. Like, it's so cool, the community that we're building all over the world with officials, and that's ultimately what we're here for on Fox Running. So. We appreciate y'all, and we will see y'all next week.
Have a good night.